Hi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Jane.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up,
the relatable dating podcast.
That's my opinion. Like I say, everybody else is entitled to theirs if they enjoy. It's just what I enjoy, you know. I've had a threesome before. Hey everyone, so before we start the show, I just wanted to talk a little bit about a charity that we've decided to support. When our merchandise comes out, we will be donating 50% of the profits to this charity. But here's Jane to tell you a bit more about the charity we're supporting.
So the charity is called Refuge, which opened the world's first refuge in Chiswick, West London in 1971. Since then, it has grown to become the country's largest single provider of specialist support to women and children escaping domestic violence and other forms of gender-based violence. On any given day, Refuge supports more than 6,500 women and children.
Thank you for listening, and here's the show. Hello, and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Phil. She's Jane, and today we are going to be talking about kinks and fetishes. So following on from the episode that we had with Orsa, we wanted to talk about our experiences, our opinions, and our thoughts. But first, because a follower asked us about this, like, they want to know how our week's been, what we've been up to, and what we've been doing. So how's your week been, Jane?
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, they said we should start it like this because it interacts a bit more, apparently. So, yeah.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you so much for asking. My week has been manic. I've just recently moved flats. So it's been a busy week of going to work, coming back and unpacking. So it's been a manic week and I really would love a massage to get over this trauma.
Nice.
Actually, I heard that. This is quite relevant. I heard that if you're moving home with somebody, it can make or break your relationship.
Oh.
Because it's a very stressful time. Luckily, I'm moving in by myself. I've not had that kind of stress with a partner.
Mm-hmm. But it has helped you move.
But they do say that.
It's helped you.
Well, very marginally. Because he works quite late. So the time he arrives, I've unpacked everything from the car. But he's been great at doing all the DIY. He loves stuff like that. So that's been pretty cool.
That's amazing.
But yeah, if anyone else has had a disaster time moving in with someone, let me know because I did hear it's a make or break situation sometimes.
Da, da, da.
There we are. And how's your week been, Phil?
My week, well, on Sunday, I drove to London for the podcast festival, for BBE.
Yeah, tell us all about that.
You want to know all about it? I was nervous as anything. And yeah, so...
Nerves is good, though. Nerves mean you care.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I was literally planning it out in my head as I went down. It didn't go to plan at all. It, like, literally, it wasn't to plan.
It never does, you know. Even for this, you know, we have a kind of set structure, but we always go off tangents and things like that. So
I think it makes it better.
Yeah, there we are, of course.
So, yeah, met some amazing people that did that do podcasts. I put it up on my story the other day on the Monday, and it was just an all-time amazing experience. So absolutely loved it, sparked a bit of debate, and, yeah. Then drove home, got home at, I think, 1 o'clock in the morning, about that. I think it was somewhat silly. And then I ended up going back down to London on Monday night for work to do a project. And
was there even any point coming home?
Yeah, because I saw my little boy on Monday. So I picked him up from school. And yeah, that was great. And now we are on Wednesday. And I'm trying to think what else is going on. Yeah, just work. It's like... at the moment.
Manic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's our week. So thank you very much to the listener follower for asking how our week's been. And we'll talk about it each week.
Yeah,
now.
That's lovely.
But now I think we need to get into the subject that we are going to talk about, which is kinks and fetishes. So we asked our followers on Instagram this morning, because I completely forgot about it until like this morning, and asked them the question of what do you think the difference between a kink and a fetish is? So do you want to hear some of the answers?
Yes, please. Because this actually, to be honest, I don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. So educate me, please.
Okay. So one person said, I would say it's the same thing. Another person said, a fetish is a fantasy. A kink is fantasy in action. I'll read out the right one last. A kink is an action. Fetish is something desired. That's another right one. So we've got a couple of right ones. A kink can be done with any consenting person. A fetish is imposed and non-consensual. And yeah, that one's right as well. So what's your thoughts? What do you know the difference? What is your...
For me, I would have thought that fetishes are something that are a bit out there, that you... When you, it's almost like a desire that every time you are intimate with someone, you want to do this fetish, whatever your fetish may be. Mm-hmm. Whereas a kink is something that maybe it's, you want to try it now and again, it's not a big thing. Whereas a fetish, you're kind of like almost obsessive with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's correct or not.
Yeah, basically, let me just read this one. A kink is an add-on to good sex. A fetish is the only way that somebody can be aroused and enjoy sex. So the only way that they can get off. So kinks and fetishes can be the same thing. It's mm-hmm. the need for it. Like some people need that because it's the only way they get turned on, whereas a kink, it's just like they say, an add-on. It can make sex better. They can enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the main thing here is that, you know what, there's no shame in that. There's no shame in fetishes,
yeah,
or
absolutely
kinks.
No shame.
And I think we need to talk about it more, really. Like, and people,
I actually see that when you mention that, when I was writing my book, and there are certain chapters about fetishes that I was that I got involved with, and when I was writing the book, I started not so much. I was kind of talking about how I was feeling and almost kind of slagging off that fetish. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my editor said to me, you know, you don't have a right to slag off a fetish, because what you think is wrong is something that's probably very natural for this person. And who is it for you to say, you know, what they're doing is wrong? Mm-hmm. And it totally changed my opinion completely, because she's right. It's like, you know, whatever I don't like doesn't mean that, you know, that's wrong. Yeah. You know, that other person, they have that, their certain fetish, their certain kink, and they just have to find someone that is compatible with them, that likes that certain one as well.
Yeah, it's 100%. And I think that's the thing. It's like why we do this podcast, because it's learning processes, and it's opening up people's mm-hmm. minds to other things, because there is a lot of kink and fetish shaming that goes on. And yeah, I think when people truly understand what it is, it brings a different light to it, I would say. So
yeah, I mean, I've heard of certain fetishes, and I'm just like, how do people do that? But again, obviously I've got an opinion on it, but you know, it's just what they like.
Yeah, exactly. Now we'll get into the questions, and well, we'll get into our polls in a second, but I'll ask you the question first. Have you had, or do you have, a kink?
to believe it or not, right, me and my boyfriend had this conversation because he read my book and he just assumed that I'm this like wild girl that's who's turned on me different fetishes and kinks, and I'm really not. I'm very, I'm up for exploring for sure, but there's nothing that I could say where I don't have a fetish, definitely not, but I'm all up for exploring if the other person has something. So yeah, that's pretty much me. Up for trying stuff, but I don't personally have something that I like to try every time. What about you?
With me, I think it's probably BDSM, but only slightly. It's only like I have bed restraints, like, and it's a kink.
Ooh.
It's a kink. It's like, if somebody, and I need to apologize actually to the listener that did message me after Orsa's episode and says, it's really weird hearing you talk about like kinks and stuff like that, because
you need to apologize to your mum, who's probably going to be listening to this.
Yeah, mum, don't listen to this episode. but yeah, I have bed restraints, toys, stuff like that. But the thing is, if somebody doesn't want to use them, then, you know, there's no like, you have to, you know. And when I do use them, it's very much under their terms. So it's kind of like, as long as they consent, feel comfortable, and if they want to stop at any time, then yeah, they can. And
okay, so I've got a question for you, Phil. Okay. When would you introduce this kink of yours? So, you know, if you're dating someone, when would you bring that up? You know, if you want, would you say something like, would you like to try this? Like, how does it come about?
It kind of slides into conversation sometimes. Like, because sometimes you get a bit flirty over messages and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just slides in there, gets mentioned that I've got bed restraints, you know, and toys. Mm-hmm. And if they're like, I see what their reaction to it is. If they're okay with it, they're like, oh, wow, that sounds fun. That's great, you know. But if they're very much like, oh, it's not for me, then, like I say, because it's not a fetish, it's a kink, it's kind of like, that's fine then. They won't get used. So,
okay.
Yeah. So how many of, percentage-wise, how many of our followers on Instagram do you think have had a kink?
I would think it's quite high.
Okay.
Because I do think people are more open about chatting about sex, even things like, there's so much material available now online. Mm-hmm. And there's so much information in magazines as well, like even things like just female male magazines, whether that's like Cosmopolitan or whether that's like, I don't know, guy magazines. I'm guessing, like, I only remember things like back in the day when my first boyfriend
GQ
used to buy Zoo
lot,
and Nuts, I think it was called.
Nuts was the one.
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot of Nuts. So there's a lot of information then. So I would say the percentage was maybe 65%, I'm going to go for.
What, they said yes, they have? 49%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 49%.
Oh.
Pretty much half of the people that we asked said, yeah.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, that was only asked like 5 hours ago. So there might be more. It might change, but
yeah.
Then we moved on to, would you ever try a new kink if your partner or future wanted to try? In the future, wanted to try. So
again, I think it's high. I'd say 70% would try it.
I said, I would say, would you, but like from your book, you have done, haven't you? So,
oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Some I wish I hadn't, but there you go.
It's an experience. You said 70, what did you say?
Yeah, 70%. I'd
90%
say would be up for
said
trying.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I like that. Nice and high.
90% said yes, which is great. And then then we'll get through this poll and then we'll go more into detail with everything. So do you have a fetish? I don't personally have a fetish. You said that you haven't had a fetish. How many people do you think following said they do?
I would say lower than 50%. I would say 45%.
5% said yes. So 95% said that they don't. So yeah. Moving on. And then we'll go back and talk about after if your partner.
Although that percentage.
Sorry,
Phil. That percentage may change once they hear the list of different fetishes. Because they might be like, oh.
Maybe.
I might try that.
I mean, that would be a kink. That would be a kink though, wouldn't it? If they're not into it already or if it doesn't turn them on, possibly.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about fetishes more deeper and where fetishes come from and other things. So we moved on to the question, if your partner or future partner had a fetish, would you be okay with that? What percentage said yes? So remember the answer to the kink was 90%.
So I would say 20%.
With the fetish. It's actually 62% said that they would be okay with the fetish.
What? So,
yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm really bad at these percentages.
There's like 100 different ways it could go, isn't there? So it's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think about kinks and fetishes should be spoken about more? What percentage?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay. 60%.
Well, 93% said yes. So,
oh wow, nice and high.
The 7% that didn't probably don't listen to this episode because that's what we're speaking about. It is nice and high, and that's good. That's good. And final one: do you feel fetishes get a bad rap because they are not normal? And I put e.g. a foot fetish. And how many people said yes?
I think they get a bad rap, so I would say 90%.
100%. 100% of people we asked said that they get a bad rep. Now we've got some questions. We'll start with the easy one, which is just our opinion first, if you want. So is it harder for people to open up about their kinks to others or take part in other kinks? What would you say?
I think it's hard initially to talk about it because sometimes people would maybe be a bit standoffish if they found out what your kink or fetish was. And I think a lot of people that have a certain fetish or kink, they want a person to feel comfortable with them first before they kind of say to them, by the way, this is what I'm into. Yeah. Because this is what happened in my experience. And because I felt so comfortable and I trusted them, that's what made me go ahead with the fetish. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts?
I feel it's probably harder to take part in other people's kinks than to talk about my own for me. Because my own, for me, I'm used to it. You know, I'm comfortable with it and everything else. Whereas to take part in someone else's kinks might be a bit like, it depends what the kink is. And that's the thing, because obviously kinks can range
there's so many
all the way up to there. So I'd say for me, it's taking part in other people's, because I'm quite comfortable with talking about mine. And yeah. So that was the first question. Now, I did ask whether the people that said about their kinks and fetishes, I asked them what they were. Nobody's replied. But I did pull that up a lot later. So one of the questions, can fetishes be cured? Now, what's your thoughts on this?
my kind of reply is like, why does it need to be cured?
That is a good reply. That is a good reply.
Yeah. Because yeah, people, like I say, because it may seem a bit daunting to you, it can be completely natural for that person. And people probably don't want to be cured from it because it's enjoyable for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So just reading an article off Bustle, there's absolutely nothing wrong with sexual fetishes. Yeah. With the caveat, of course, that everybody involved is a consenting adult and no one is unwillingly hurt. And it says, are you going to understand people's fetishes? And it's probably no, you don't understand it. But are you going to be turned on by everyone's fetishes? No. But unless you're having sex with that person, it doesn't affect you. And who are you to deny someone their best orgasms? So in regards to can it be cured? So it's very conflicting. Some people say yes, some people say no. But like you said, why does it need to be? So the thing is, fetishes basically start from childhood. People get a fetish from being a child, and it sounds weird talking about it, but obviously people find stuff that they like, they enjoy, and it starts to become a fetish. So it's an innate part of a person's sexuality. But we are very sex positive, and so should mm-hmm. everybody be. And going back to sex education that we were talking about, it's said that obviously you don't need to be cured because there's nothing wrong with it, but find a sex positive therapist to talk to it about, and they will be able to help you and guide you with like how the best place to approach it with a partner, and you know, and the fact of bringing it back into normality, because as we were saying with Orsa, is very much like sex needs to be talked about more because it's natural. Everybody mm-hmm. does it.
Yeah.
Everybody has different things that turn them on, things that don't turn them on, that are turn-offs when it comes to sex. And the thing is, it's basically like a fetish or a kink.
You know who's not embarrassed about sex? Animals.
Animals, exactly.
I was at a safari park, I think it was 3 weeks mm-hmm. ago now, and the first thing me and my boyfriend saw when we walked into safari park was two monkeys shagging away in front of everyone.
Yeah, they did not
care. And I was like, good on you.
Yeah, I think there's only two species of animals that actually have sex for the enjoyment of it. The rest...
It's dolphins.
Yes, I think it's dolphins and us, isn't it? That's the only two species that have sex for enjoyment and pleasure. Everyone else, it's for breeding. I've got a very interesting fact actually about lions, if you want to know it.
Yes, please.
So
I love it that
lions have a barbed penis. Yeah,
a barbed.
So basically, I haven't got
barbed as in barbed wire.
As in like, so it kind of is bigger at the bottom. I'm just going to search it. Sorry to.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say barbed, I think of barbed wire, and I'm like, is it like jaggy?
I haven't actually looked, but the fact on it, lions have sex 40 times a day. Yeah.
What?
With.
No wonder they sleep a lot of the time.
With
they're exhausted.
Their penis, they cannot remove their penis till they've ejaculated. So it is stuck in there until they're ejaculated.
Oh my gosh.
Wait there. Yes. So I don't know whether you can see this. I can't believe that I'm showing you.
You show a picture of a lion's penis.
So you see all the little barbs.
Oh yeah. It looks like spikes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether to. No, I'm not putting it up on Instagram. Just search penile spines. But yeah, that basically when the lion is erect and having sex, they are spikes, so they cannot be removed until. Obviously, the lion.
I hope it's not sore for the lioness.
If they try and remove, then yeah. I can't believe we've gotten to lion penis.
Yeah, I want to come off this subject, please.
Yeah. So, basically, speak to sex positive therapists about that if you have a fetish and you want to basically. Understand more about it or be more accepted. Now on Kinks, we'll talk about it after we've got a little game right now, I think, haven't we?
The special guest segment.
Lights, camera, action.
This is the special guest segment because, hey, who doesn't like to make a guest feel special by giving them their own segment? Just listen and find out. It's great.
We do have a game. So I am going to put Phil to the challenge. I kind of looked up some different types of kinks and fetishes, and I want Phil to see if he knows the name of each of the ones I'm about to read out. So I'm going to start with something really easy, and I just want you to explain what you think it means. So obviously this is one of the most common fetishes, a foot fetish. So what exactly do you think that involves?
With the foot fetish, I think it's potentially is people are attracted to the feet, to the touch, to the feel of the feet, to the look of the feet, and also potentially having their feet touched.
Yeah, and also to add to that, some people even want smelly feet on their faces.
Okay.
So it's anything that they basically desire, they worship someone else's feet and they just want to kiss it, massage it. So yeah, and you know, you hear about people saying, they'll say kind of off the cuff, oh, you know, I'm struggling for cash, I'm going to like sell pictures of my feet. You know, people say it all the time. But yeah, that's one of the most popular fetishes out there.
Now, wait, before we move on, here's the question for this. Would you ever send someone a picture of your feet?
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't bother me at all. I don't see, it's funny because I actually don't see that as a strange fetish. I love my feet getting massaged. I don't have a foot fetish, but I wouldn't care if my boyfriend had it because I'd be like, you can massage my feet whenever you want.
Oh, you
he
look.
Actually hates, he hates feet. He actually hates feet. So
yeah.
It's kind of annoying. Sometimes I'm like, can you just tickle my feet? And he's like, absolutely not. Okay, so that's the first one. So this next one, hopefully I can pronounce this correctly, voyeurism.
Voyeurism, it's like when you'd like to watch, sometimes secretly watch. I mean, not secretly watch, they know you're watching, but it's kind of like, it's where you're watching other people.
Well done, Phil. Yeah, so basically it's excitement from watching others when they are naked or engaging in sex acts. Okay, so the next one, which is obviously you've kind of touched on that you might like this or you're kind of into it, but do you know what it stands for? BDSM.
Oh.
Because it's actually quite difficult.
I don't know what it stands for. I just know the...
Can you guess? Can you guess what the B and D stand for?
Body desire.
So it's bondage. Discipline.
Yep.
So they kind of split it up like BD, then DS, and then SM. So BD is bondage and discipline. DS is domination and submission.
Yep.
S and M are sadism and I can't pronounce this.
Masochism. Is it?
Masochism. Yep. M-A-S-O-C-H-I-S-M.
Yeah. So if we pronounced it wrong, then sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, it's basically all about letting the dominant take control. So this can involve tying people up, a bit of slapping, humiliation, physical pain. You know, you get different levels. Mm-hmm. But as we've mentioned before, it's all about communicating. Sometimes people that are involved with BDSM have a safe word.
Yep.
That's what kind of 50 Shades of Grey was,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was BDSM.
What kind of BDSM in there.
Yeah. Submissive and dominant.
That's it. Okay, so the next one is water sports.
Water sports.
Or it's actually known as, I should have said the other one first, urophilia.
I would have got it. Also. I would have got it from urophilia because uro is urine. And then philia is the love of or the obsession of.
Well done.
So yeah, it's basically golden showers and stuff like that, and yeah
so it's basically play involving urine, so yeah, such as your golden showers, but also it could be things like peeing your underwear in front of the other person, or it could be peeing on different body parts. So it's just anything involving urine.
I mean, I learned something from your book.
So if you want to know about my experience, my book is available on Amazon, 30 Reasons to Swipe Left. Okay, the next one, cuckolding. I hope I said that right.
This is where somebody like a husband watches their wife get sexual pleasure from a stranger.
Well done. I can't believe you know this. So yeah, they get the word from the cuck, is they refer to that as the male partner. Mm-hmm. And they're basically watching their other half having sex with someone else. Sometimes it could be they get off on their wife or partner having sex with someone with a bigger penis, things like that.
Yep.
Okay, so the next one, CBT. Do you know what it stands for?
It's what you take before your motorbike test.
Okay, so CBT, this was an eye-opener for me. It stands for cock ball torture.
Oh.
So this is pain by basically kicking the person or the boy, man, in the nuts, slapping their willy, slapping their testicles. It could be standing on them. So anything involving that region. And that sounds absolutely horrific.
I am sat here like, ooh, but you know, if someone enjoys it, who am I to question it?
Yeah. I mean, I've actually heard of like people who are in a high position of power, pay a lot of money for this to get done because it's like the kind of like the humiliation of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next one is age play. Do you know what that is?
Age play, would that be basically someone of a younger age going with someone much older and vice versa?
Actually, no. This one is when you dress up as adult babies.
Ah.
So this can involve like wearing nappies, mm-hmm. and changing each other's, or sorry, if you're not familiar with the word nappy, diaper as well. So I actually watched a documentary a few years back about this, and it was just professional people who that was their fetish. Mm-hmm. They loved to just dress up, and they had a cot, and they would change each other. They'd feed each other milk. So there you are. That's age play. Okay, the next one, impact play.
Impact play. I'm going to say, is that like, because that's BDSM, unless it is like flogging, whips and stuff like,
That's exactly it. So it's using things like whips, paddles, any apparatus that you have that you can hit your body with. Some people just use like these spatulas they've got in the kitchen. Okay, got two more for you.
Okay.
I'm leaving the funniest one to last. Okay, so number 9 here is, I hope I say this correctly, queerophilia.
That's the love, well, queer probably, LGBTQ.
It's Q-U-I-R-O.
Okay, that changes everything. Philia is obviously obsession of.
I'm going to give you a clue.
Yeah. Hands or fingers? Hands.
Yeah, so it's a fetish for hands. So this could be anything from picking up your groceries or doing some chores. So it's just using your hands. And it's basically just the opposite of a foot fetish, but with your hands. Okay, so the final one, which I did not know exist, is called spectrophilia.
Spectro. So spectro, I'm guessing eyes watching. So it's the obsession with watching, or...
Okay, I'm going to tell you. This is the sexual encounter with a ghost.
Oh,
now,
yes.
I have actually,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've actually, I totally forgot about this. I did watch an excerpt on This Morning. So it's the daytime TV show. And it was a woman saying that she is in love with her partner who's a ghost. They have sex with each other. And it was so fascinating because, you know, she says that she has orgasms because she feels him having sex with her. So there you are. That was the last
interesting.
One.
Interesting. Do you know about furries?
Furries. Yeah. Furries is that not when you dress up
as animals
in outfits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting.
I actually only know that one because there is a gay bar in Glasgow and they have an event once a year and called the Furries, and people come along and dress up in different animal outfits. It's really
That's
cool.
That's amazing.
There you are. Did you enjoy my quiz?
I did enjoy your quiz. And did I get more right than you thought that I would?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And now you know what CBT stands for.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, that isn't one for me.
Okay, is there any on that list that you would happily get involved with?
Ooh.
And is there any that you wouldn't try?
CBT, definitely not. I don't think that is for me.
I don't blame you. So we had, you know, obviously the voyeurism, foot fetish, BDSM... The spectrophilia, water sports.
I don't think the cuckolding either for me. I don't think that's one for me. Now, me personally, I am very much like it's one-on-one when it comes to sex and everything like that. And that's my opinion. Like I say, everybody else is entitled to theirs if they enjoy. It's just what I enjoy, you know. I've had a threesome before and it wasn't all that everyone
bells and whistles
cracks up to be. So
I felt the same as well, you know. I've done a few and I feel like it just looks amazing in porn, and then when it gets down to the realism of it, someone always gets left.
Yeah was yours female or male?
So, yeah, a male and a female.
Yeah, mine was obviously me, two females. So, yeah, it just...
Lucky boy. You'll never get left out.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's not all it cracks up to be. I just like... I mean, for me anyway. For other people, they may love it.
Back to the chat.
Where am I? Who are you people?
Now it's time just to go back to the chat. So we've finished that little segment and here we go. So sit back, relax and enjoy the chat. Shall we talk a bit more about kinks?
Yes.
So for anybody that didn't listen to our episode with Orsa, she has somebody that works for Taylor Match who is called Sub in the City, who is Sarah. Now, I follow Sarah on Instagram, and she's very much like, she's a BDSM coach. And she says, like, levels, like, BDSM doesn't have to be all pain or anything like that. There's different levels. She also shows you about different impacts. So you have, like, obviously whips are high impact. And she takes you through the process of, like, on this reel of how to kind of, like, go through, like, doing BDSM or doing anything with impact. And as you said earlier, safe words. So, but somebody asked how how do you explore kinks responsibly? Now, what website? Wearyourvoicemag.com. This is from quite a while ago, but I found this article, and it says, read. So there's a lot of books out there. There is the Ultimate Guide to Kink, which is a comprehensive guide to kink and BDSM. And now I think this is the problem. Sometimes people are a bit wary about reading stuff because it's like they have blood play and anal fisting, you know, in these books. But you pick what you like, what you enjoy, and what you want to explore, because not everybody is going to enjoy every single kink out there. But not everybody, like, there'll probably be something out there that you enjoy, and exploring it, as long as you feel comfortable to a level to explore it and you've got somebody to explore it with, then yeah, I don't think there's a massive problem with that. Now, it recommends this site. It's called Go to a Munch. What do you think a munch is?
A munch. In Scotland, a munch is foods, like,
yeah, because you need a munch. You have munch boxes, don't you? I heard about those.
Yeah, we have munch boxes. And then if people have the munchies, it means like they're starving. They really want some food. They want some snacks. Yeah. So when you say munch, I'm thinking of food.
No, it's a little bit different. Munches are casual social gatherings for kinky folks to meet each other in public without sex or play talking. So there is a site called findamunch.com, and we'll link it in the show notes. So if you're interested in exploring like a kink and want to go meet people, these are perfect ways to do it. They're like, they've been verified, they're real and everything like that, and they're all over the world. Like, I had a look, there's like several in Nottingham. So yeah.
Oh well, maybe you should do some research and get back to us on that.
Want to go to a munch?
Yeah.
It also says about talking to kinky friends. So it's like Orsa said, she's got her dominatrix friend who she didn't know was a dominatrix at the start, did she? And I think many of us, many of us kind of have kinks, or they have a bit of a kinkier side, or, you know, and we should talk about it more.
We probably have friends that have got kinks and fetishes that we have no idea about.
No, because the problem is shame, kink shaming or fetish shaming.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I recently found out one of my friends loves to go to swinging parties. She's not like a close friend, but she is a girl that I worked with quite a few times, and she said, you know, we've been to swinging parties and things. I was like, wow, did not expect that from her. So it's always the quiet ones.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm quiet, but yeah. But yeah, I think it is. It's a lot more about talking to people. And, you know, people that you're comfortable with, and you find out a lot more about your friends, because, like you say, a lot of people hide it because of the fact that we are in this sexual negative culture that basically goes, we should not talk about this. We people kind of go all squeamish or go, ooh, what, yeah, when we talk about it. But I there's no problem with it. And finally, it says, take a class. So there are classes. And as I was mentioning, Sub in the City, she does classes on BDSM. And that can be anything from play piercing to single tail whip techniques. And I think also mentioned Killing Kittens. Have you ever heard of Killing Kittens before? Yeah.
Yes. So it's a party we can go along to, and yeah, all sorts go down there where you can just watch people have sex. You can take part in some kinks. Very safe environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to, because you have to pay quite a lot of money to go there. So yeah. It's all monitored and very safe.
Yeah. I'm just having a quick look. I was just having a look. 16th of October. No, this would have just gone. But they have a finger bang, master the hand jive, apparently. So Yeah, no more jackhammering finger punches. It's time to up your game with those hand noodles. And that's online, and it's already passed, but it's...
You've got lots of events, basically, running.
Lots of different events to basically... And most of it's online at the moment until things open back up properly, but... Yeah, but also Orsa and her partner, David Chambers, they have loads of talks about tantric. They have loads of events about tantric, or I think it's mindful masturbation and what else?
Using lots of lube.
Yeah, they have loads of classes that are on, so go check out their pages. So the thing about exploring other people's kinks or exploring people's fetishes. Now, for me, it's what I feel comfortable with. So there are some fetishes out there or some kinks out there that I would not feel comfortable with in doing. And I feel that with a new partner, you know, it's about talking about it. And if it is a fetish, remember that that is... the only way they is sex will have to involve that for them to be able to like enjoy sex. So if it's something that you're not comfortable with doing, then it might not be, they might not be the
compatible to you.
So
don't feel embarrassed to say I don't want to try this, because in my situation I was quite naive. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really ask many questions about it. I think, you know, find out as much information as you can, you know, what's going to actually happen, how long does it last for, things like that, because I was just like, yeah, sure, like, let's just try it, not knowing what was even going to happen.
Yeah.
Because at that time I was dating someone and, you know, I was quite vulnerable and I just felt like I had to do this fetish to make him like me more. Mm-hmm. So just be... you know, just be aware, just ask questions and just say no if you don't want to do it. Yeah. And sometimes it is easier said than done. You know, sometimes people are like, who probably would have been in my situation, and they're just like, oh, I better just do it because they're not going to like me or they might break up with me. But then if you're going to be in a situation like that, you don't want to be with that person.
No, not at all. And you're right. Ask questions. Ask them if there's safe words involved, because ultimately it's about your safety, you being able to consent to it. And if you want it to stop at any point, then, you know, there needs to be that thing where somebody says stop. Now, this is why safe words are about, because the thing is, sometimes stop isn't a safe word to these people. It should be, but this is why you should always agree a safe word at the start, because obviously it means that everybody's on the same level, comfortable, and like you say, how long it lasts, how long it's going to carry on. If somebody wants it to stop, it stops immediately, and what happens after as well, because I think that's a bit about it. Because if you are doing BDSM where there is high impact activities, then there's got to be that thing after where it's comfort and,
yeah,
you know, you're bringing it back to closeness, you know, rather than the sub and dom kind of situation, which is very much on like a submissive and a dominant person. It needs to come back to, right, we're back to the relationship now, and, you know, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And ta-da! So thank you everyone for listening, and yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you do have any questions, like Jane said, just drop us a message, and we will look to get it answered by one of our experts, or go message one of the experts, like Orsa from Taylor Matched, or The Authentic Man, David Chambers, or Sub in the City, because they're amazing counts to follow.
Final thoughts.
This This segment is called Final Thoughts, where we've reached the end of the episode and we take a look back at what we've learned, what we're going to take away, or what we just found a little bit funny.
Final thoughts for me are, I genuinely didn't know there was a difference between kinks and fetishes. Now I know, you know, the difference between them. And yeah, I think it is very fascinating learning about the different types out there. And if you do have a fetish, don't be ashamed of it. Just, you know, if you feel that you want to talk to someone, like Phil said, speak to maybe a sex positive therapist, or even just go online and see what information you can find.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
What's your final thoughts, Phil?
Well, I thought of a bit more to say, but we'll talk about that. I'll give my final thoughts first. So my final thoughts are that you should not shame anybody for anything, as long as they don't hurt any, unwillingly hurt anyone, or and everybody consents. So it goes back to our three rules that we always say about everyone's happy with the situation, everyone consents, and everybody knows the potential outcome.
But yeah, get in touch with us if you have any questions about fetishes and kinks, and we can find out if we can get the answer for you and get back.
And yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hey everyone, so thank you for listening to the show. Now, just before we go, we are going to give you information on Refuge, the charity that we are supporting.
So Refuge National Domestic Abuse Helpline is 0808-2000-247. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all for free and confidential specialist support. You can visit www.nationaldahelpline.org.uk to fill in a web form and request a safe time to be contacted or to access live chat. So live chat is available 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday to Friday. For support with tech abuse, you can visit refugetechsafety.org.uk.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.